kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Exhort and encourage us tonight in faith, and there's always something new to learn or to be reminded how we walk each day before the Lord. And I've got a title for our teaching today, and that is, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? You know, before the Lord touched our lives and hearts, we weren't really seeing a lot. We were only seeing the kingdom of self, everything that is in this world, the greed, the lies, the lust, and wanting everything with those lustful eyes and so on. That's what dominated what we were seeing until the Lord turned us around. And God has to do that because he wants to show us something greater and bigger, and that is himself. And we know that this is a work of grace and mercy with what the Lord's doing now in these final days. So we will talk about this today, and as I said, we're going to call this teaching, What Are You Seeing? It's interesting that seeing is not believe in God's word, because we interpret what we see in the light of what we believe, because faith is believing confidently before it is manifested and visibly seen. And there is the difference. There are many who profess themselves as Christians, but when they read the Word of God, or they hear the Word of God, and they read these many, many promises, unless faith is being cultivated, unless faith in us is being challenged and taught us, we are not going to have that confidence before what we are believing in is manifested visibly or visibly seen. In other words, faith will always see before manifestation. That is the ultimate of faith. Now, God has called us to do something, naturally speaking, that is impossible, because we still live in this world and we are blessed with an eyesight. So we are looking at things. The moment we wake up every day, our eye gate is confronted with things that we look at. Our eyes are needed in which to focus on that cup that we're going to hold, or the water that we're going to pour from the tap, or the kettle that we put on, the very clothes that we put on our body, the things in our house. Our eyes are needed when we go to our cars and we set off. So we are constantly looking at things every day, every moment, and your brain is taking in all those images that you see. And God says that we walk by faith, not believing or depending on those everyday things in life that we see and rely on. Now, it's not to say that it doesn't have a place, a value. Of course it does. We need to see doors in which to get into a house. So what we see is important for our survival, to be able to function every day in this life. But God has taken us a step further in our salvation, and he's given us the revelation of his word, these 66 books, where he is challenging us to see beyond the natural, to see beyond what we are looking at every day. And the way we do this is by reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, so that that faith to believe, which we are born again by, is quickened to be able to start to believe and embrace the promises of God's Word to us. And that is why faith is believing confidently before it is manifested and visibly seen. And this is the challenge we face each day, and that is why faith must be tried and it's got to be tested. Because sometimes you say, well, why is faith tested? Why can it be so hard? It has to be for that very purpose. Your trials and your tests are to deliver you from trusting in the natural, visible things that you look at and depend on each day. God is trying to bypass that where your faith is concerned and believing in the promises of God. This is why he bypasses the five senses: what you see, what you touch, what you smell, what you feel, what you hear. Faith has nothing to do with that. Of course, it can be involved, don't get me wrong, but my dependence on those God-given senses, which they are, where faith is concerned, it is above that. It is a higher knowledge, understanding, and revelation. That is why it says in the Word that Christ is wisdom, knowledge to us. And this is why he has come back to us, baptizing us in the power of the Holy Spirit, in which to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. And that is why he refers in the Word that we are of the seed of Abraham. Let's remind ourselves again how God taught this man to walk by faith. Now remember, he didn't have a Bible like you hold, like you have. Much of what he was dependent upon was hearing God and revelation, which is the same. He had certain insight, obviously, to ancient scriptures, but nothing in comparison to what we have today. And yet, look what God did through this man. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and take it from verse 7. I know you know this well, but it really brings home the point of what I'm saying here. Hebrews 11, and we'll take it let's go from verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, that is God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So our faith, the nature of our faith, is in which to receive rewards, blessings. That is what God says, I will do to a man or woman who will trust me and walk by faith as I require and want, because he says otherwise it's going to be impossible. He won't receive it. It eventually just becomes sin. And you have to repent. Now he says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He moved and built that ark for all those years because he heard God's voice and he chose to believe it. He didn't have the Bible, he didn't have all the revelation and all the promises of God's word. He moved in faith. They all thought he was absolutely crazy, out of his mind, because he had heard God was going to judge and send a flood. But I believe also Noah saw the unrighteousness. He saw the wickedness. He saw the depravity of that age and generation, just the same as what we are seeing today. And God opens our eyes to see what is happening in the world, so we, like Noah, are preparing ourselves so that we get into this spiritual ark that God has prepared for these last days. Can you see? It is no different. The Holy Spirit that moved in their lives is the same God and Holy Spirit who moves in and through us today as well. The Bible tells us God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. And we move exactly the same like these saints did. He, it says, by faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. He was seeing in the realm of faith. He had seen what God had said to him. And that is how we move and walk by faith. We hear what God says to us. It will always be misinterpreted. We will always find opposition. But he moved by faith and it proved he was right. Same principle every time. Then we take it up, verse 8. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He could not rely on his eyesight. He couldn't rely on his feelings. He couldn't rely on smell. All those things that we take for granted. It says he went out not knowing. He didn't have a sat-nav. He simply trusted God, who led and guided him. And that is how we move with God. That is how he leads and guides us. And that we are to rest and trust him, that he will be with us when we go out and when we come in. The same God that led Abraham to walk by faith is the same God today, ministering to us through the Holy Spirit. There is no difference. We somehow get this feeling, well, that was for Abraham, but it's not for me. I'm not Abraham. Well, you are of the seed of Abraham and blessed by the blessings of Abraham. Do we not sing it? Abraham's blessings are mine. Do we believe that, brothers and sisters, when we sing that chorus? That's the question. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. So he was brought out from his family, brought out from all the familiarity, the things that he took for granted, things that he was used to. God planted him in a foreign country. He separated him for the purpose to be able to walk by faith. And God separates us if we let him, so that we too walk by faith. And I'm going to tell you, very often the closest in your family can be the biggest hindrance to you walking by faith. And that is why God had to take him out into a foreign country to show him a land, a promise, a future. And God does exactly the same with us. Because otherwise we will be bound and held in the things we're always seeing and feeling. And that is not how we're to walk. For he waited for the city which he had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So God was showing him a foundation after coming out in a foreign land. He's showing him that there will be a foundation you will stand on, that will never move, will never change. There he was speaking right out in the future, that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ, that you and I now stand upon, because we're under greater promises and blessings. He saw that afar off. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Here God is revealing he's a miraculous, miracle-working God. Look what he's teaching them. The same God who promised there, did that miracle, he's the same today, now, this moment, speaking to you by the Spirit. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitudes, innumerable as the sand which is by seashore. So from that promise of Isaac, God had a spiritual seed, his family. That is why we're of the seed of Abraham, by faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were all pressing in, believing that Messiah was going to come. And they were convinced, they were assured. There wasn't any doubt or unbelief. That is the faith God's working in you and I, that we are so assured we don't need any feelings or emotions or anything else to tell us we know. Why? Because we're seeing by faith. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. So you see, God has to separate you. He has to get you away from where you are bound by idolatry, insecurity, fears, unbelief, for the very purpose to desire a better place, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is why it's separation. This is why God calls disciples who forsake all and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. How is he able to do that? Because he's assured that yes, if God slays him, if he is to sacrifice him, he has such assurance God will raise him up That's why, of whom it was said in Isaac, your seed shall be called his only heir. And God's saying, you offer him up now. Concluding that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith of Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And so it goes on. That faith is handed over. Those blessings that were handed on included revelation. They saw it by faith. That is the word. They are the promises being handed on by blessing to the patriarchs. That is the revelation of God's will. Flesh and blood isn't revealing those blessings that Abraham is passing on to his offspring. And God's doing exactly the same with us. He's passing on the blessing of his word, the assurance of his word to us today, now. It's no different. He's the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. When are we going to believe this, brothers and sisters? And that's why the only prayers that will be answered are prayers believing before it's manifested. We see faith believing. We believe in what we pray. There's a principle that I'm reminded of in the Bible. Tell me, if you will, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 16 to 20. Now, this is interesting. I know you've read this, you've seen this before, but look what our Lord saw here. Luke chapter 5, let's take it up from verse 16. So he himself often withdrew and went into a wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was it present? Because he was teaching them. There is the principle. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So he's teaching them. And as a result, faith is quickened and the power of God was there to heal them. Then behold, a man brought on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went on the top of the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And of course, the next thing we know is the religious people, the Pharisees, oh, they're all upset. They can't be blessed to see a man paralyzed, rising up to walk. No, they can't be blessed on that. Do you know why? Because they don't see by faith. But the thing we're talking about here, Jesus saw their faith. Their faith was acting. They were already seeing by faith what God was going to do with this paralytic. And that's why they dismantled that roof and they lowered him down into the presence of Jesus. You don't do that in the natural. But they're not in the natural. They are walking by faith at this point. The power of God, we've already said, there is there to heal. And faith will act. You cannot work it out how it acts, but it will act in order to receive. So there had to be the believing. They were not relying on their eyesight, because their eyesight was saying, we can't get this man into Jesus. There's too many people. There's no way we can push through the crowd. But faith knew what to do. And they said, well, let's go up onto the roof. Let's dismantle it and let's lower him. See? Completely against logic, completely against feeling, what you see, what you touch, what you smell and everything, which so often we're bound by with our faith. No, faith knows what to do. And it comes by hearing the word of God. And that is the principle that we walk by, that God expects us to walk by. And God sees faith. And when God sees faith, it says he will move mountains for that faith, your faith. And that is why you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea. Because God will move mountains. He'll move heaven and earth if need be, if he sees a mustard seed of faith believing. And how do we get it? By reading and taking in this word, embracing the promises of his word, and not questioning them or trying to analyze how it can be done, because everything you read here is impossible in the natural. All these promises that you read cannot in the natural work in your life, your circumstances. That's what it tells us. That's what our mind and logic picks up. But guess what? God has come baptizing us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is working in you to bypass all those things that we are held by, so that we can believe and we can trust that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's still the miracle working God. That's why when you pray, you have to believe on believing ground. Let's just remind ourselves again what it says in Mark 11, 23, 24. I know you know this well, but here is a principle. And it's asking this question, what are you seeing? Because that's what we're talking about today. What are you seeing? Are you seeing those mountains? Are you seeing it's all impossible? Are you seeing the symptoms in your life? Are you trapped by your emotions, your feeling, depression, down or whatever? Well, I've got good news for you. Keep listening. Keep reading, keep hearing this word, because God is going to quicken your faith so that you can start to pray the prayers of faith. Because he says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. You will have them. You have to see through the eyes of faith. You will not see anything of God and what God can do if you are trying to intellectually analyze or try to work it out, or whatever, or rely on your feelings. It will never, ever happen. That's why I read to you Abraham, who walked by faith. That is how we are to walk. Faith must see before manifestation. And you have to ask yourself, before you start praying, when you come into the Lord's presence, don't start praying believing, confessing, unless you are seeing and you know by faith that these promises that you read in the Word of God have become part of your life, your confession. Because it ain't going to work otherwise. Trust me. And then the enemy uses it. And we get all down and depressed. And it didn't happen. And my prayers didn't get answered. Why? Because we were not seeing the promises. The promise has not yet taken a hold of me in my heart. It's still in the head. Head knowledge. That's why faith must know before manifested. Your confession will make it quite clear if you are believing or not. And we still don't take that one seriously yet, do we, in FGA, as we should? Because we will not be hearing some of the things that still come out of our mouths if we really are believing these promises. And we are walking by faith. And I want to remind you again what it says in Romans 10. 8 to 13 of Romans 10. You see, you know whether you are or you're not. This isn't rocket science. You'll know whether you're believing, whether you have received by faith, because you will speak it. It will be heard. It comes out of your mouth. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What are we doing today, tonight, brothers and sisters? We're preaching this. God's speaking to us. It's near us. It's in our mouth. It's in our hearts. It's in our confession. That's what he's saying. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now he's talking obviously about salvation here, but salvation includes all the promises of God's word as well. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jews, Greeks, for the same Lord is over all, rich to all who call upon him. For whatever calls on his name, the Lord shall be saved. So he's primarily using salvation here, and rightly so. But the one we're calling upon, who is Jesus, who is the Word. And he is the promise and the promises. You can't divide it. You can't separate any of it. But he's saying here, it's about confession. That it, verse 9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts. In other words, if we confess the promises and believe in our hearts, the God who raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will receive. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, or the promise, what you're believing, confessing for, and with your mouth confession is made unto manifestation. That's really what it's speaking about. I'm waiting on the Lord for my healing. I'm waiting on the Lord for this new job. I'm waiting on the Lord because I have prayed, I've asked him in faith. That's what it's talking about. The same as your salvation, my salvation. You don't keep running to the Word. Every time you open the Bible, Lord, give me a proof text whether I'm saved or not. You know, if you keep doing that, then there's something wrong. You're probably not saved. You see, God wants you to speak faith. He wants you to speak his word for the very reason that it encourages you. It builds you up in your faith. The very fact that we confess we're believers, Christians, when we come together, we sing spiritual songs, we talk about the Lord, we listen to the word and everything. It's all about belief and confession. And what does that do? That quickens our faith. That's why a live meeting is so important, because it's what it does to our faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. It's quite clear. And this is why God creates the situation for your faith in which to act. There are things God is working out in your everyday life where he's getting you to act your faith. Whether it means that you get out of bed one morning and you feel awful in the natural, you don't feel very well, but you settle it and you say, by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. And you just get out and you start to act your faith. I know that one. I know I've shared this before, but a seminar we were giving years and years ago in Switzerland, and I was one of the guest speakers. And guess what happened? I went down with flu. And I was due to get up that morning to a two-hour meeting and ministering the word. I had a high temperature, a headache. I ate all over. And I said, Lord, you have brought me here all this way in which to teach these people. I don't know how I'm going to stand behind that pulpit, but all I know is you've brought me here, and there's the enemy doesn't want me to do this. He's a liar, and I'm going to trust you. What I didn't realize was my mother, who with some other sisters, she knew that I wasn't well. They got into prayer and warfare. And all I remember is my mother knocking on the door, coming in, and I looked at her and she said, you're here to preach. And all she said was, rise up in the name of Jesus. And that's all I heard, was those words. And I knew I had to act on those words or I was in bed for the next few days. Did I feel 100%? Was I skipping down the aisles and everything? No, I wasn't. God got me behind that pulpit. And not only did he have me to preach, but I had to lay hands on some to be healed afterwards. And I think I was battling more than some of them. And we had some healings. God blessed. The point was, God had helped me to be able to see by faith. And I knew what the devil was trying to do. And you need to know what the devil's trying to do with you. He tries to hinder your faith and your belief. And that is why God will create and allow these situations for faith to act. They're called the trials of our faith. And sometimes he allows the enemy to have access for a season, because your faith needs it. Why does it need it? Because you're still mixing feelings, emotions with the word of God and the promises of God. That's why. It's not rocket science, this. I know the trials that I go through. I need to go through them. I have to go through them if I'm to walk by faith. Because each trial is a deliverance in nature. It's healing. There are a lot of our brothers and sisters don't see trials in that light. They just see it as a trial, and why is it happening to me? And I'm the only one going through it, and blah, blah, blah. We've all done it. We've all said it. And then suddenly you wake up to see, no, I have to go through this way. Because I have to see by faith and not by sight. That's why. You know, some of the biggest tests are what come out of man's mouth and what he says. That's why confession is so important. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5? This is why God deals with us on our confession. For this very purpose, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what he's delivering us from. We still believe and trust and listen too much to man, because it appeals to our intellect. I can understand what man says to me. Well, of course you can. You have to be in faith when God speaks to us, because it's a heavenly wisdom. It's not a wisdom of this world. You have to be in faith to believe when God speaks. And faith has to be there. That's an easy route. And that's unfortunately why many of our brothers and sisters, they still base their faith on the wisdom of men. And they talk like men, and they mix faith, man's wisdom, with God's wisdom, and they wonder why they get so confused. This is why God has to separate us. This is why he gets you away from bad company, bad influences, people of the world. You cannot be too long in their presence, and even your own family, sadly. For this very purpose, this principle. Because it's revelation what God gives us. Flesh and blood cannot see this, receive this. Blessed are your eyes, brothers and sisters, if you see this. And you are being revealed this. For flesh and blood cannot reveal this. And yet we still trust in flesh and blood, don't we? Why? Because it appeals to the emotions and the senses. That's why. Faith is so important that we are to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. It's that important. Wish to God the house of God did this more. We know this well in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And this is where you have to be honest, humble. You cannot pretend. You cannot be in denial. Don't be in denial thinking that you are healed when you're not. Examine yourself. Am I believing? Am I in the faith? Am I standing on these promises or not? That's what he tells us to do. And the humble will do that before God, because they want to get it right. Why? Because it's for God's glory. And God wants to bless you richly. That's why. There is so much God has revealed to us in Full Gospel Ministries with regard to faith and the deeper life. There really is. What does the Lord say in Revelation 21, verses 7 to 8? Revelation 21, verses 7 to 8. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that is what the powers of darkness want to try to hold us in. In all those things that are catalogued there. They not only believe them, they practice them, they confess it. And look where they're going to go. That's what he says. He's absolutely clear. What does he say about the fearful? This is why God is removing fear from us, so that we don't go to hell. The fearful, in many ways, are like the parable of the talents. You know this? The one who knew his Lord to be an austere man, but was afraid to use what he had been entrusted from God. And what did he do? He went and hid his talent in the earth. And many churches, sadly, are like this. Their lives are barren. Fruitless. Fundamentally, they're worthless to the kingdom of God. He includes those who shrink back in fear from trials and tests of their Christian faith. They compromise their convictions. Where it costs too much, and so on. Those that don't want to bear the cross and live the crucified life, to bear that fruit and to overcome in all things. Only the true overcomers will trust God in the face of every trial and circumstance that they go through, resigning themselves totally in faith, depending upon him in everything, every matter, whatever it is, whether great or small. That is an overcomer. And then what does he say about those who are in unbelief, who don't believe? He refers to those who scoffers and doubters and skeptics. As he said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whatever is not of faith is sin. It doesn't matter how zealous you are, how much you study the word, how much you pray. Unless there is faith, it's impossible to please God. Israel was severely rebuked for her unbelief. You can read that in Psalm 78, verse 41. Jesus repeatedly reproved his listeners for their weak faith or lack of it. Because the Lord knew that that is the key to the overcoming life. And that's why we mature in the faith, for this very purpose. And that's why, as I bring this to a conclusion, brothers and sisters, faith brings us to a full assurance. Settle for nothing less than my faith bringing me to complete full assurance in the promises of God's word. Here it is, Hebrews 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in what? In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I could do three sermons out of that one verse. But I'll just say in passing, he says, let us draw near with a true heart. In other words, your heart has to be right before God. If you want a faith that is full of assurance, and your heart is sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, is your motives right? Do you hold any unforgiveness, sin, or sin of the tongue in your heart? All of that is absolutely paramount. If you want a faith of full assurance, and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, your bodies sanctified unto the Lord. And the washing, of course, is the idea of the washing of the word of God. He then says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because God is faithful, who made the promises, it says there. And he says along with that, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see your day approaching. So we want that full assurance of faith like Isaac had, like Abraham had, and all the saints. Well, there it is in the context there. That's how you do it. Keep coming. Keep fellowship. Keep hearing the word of God. Let the word of God wash us, purify us. Let the word deal with our hearts and those wrong motives and attitudes, or where we're hiding. Let it do that deliverance. And there you are. You'll have a faith where you are seeing it. You don't need any visible sign. You don't need convincing. You don't need a feeling, a touch. I know it. I see it. It's there. I've got it by faith in Jesus' name. I have the promise, and he is faithful. He's made that promise to me. That's another teaching in itself, experiencing that God has made a promise to you. Maybe that's my next teaching, I don't know. I can't say everything in one meeting, it's impossible. But I think you're getting what I'm trying to stress, brothers and sisters. Because God is going to test our faith, he's going to test each of us. He's going to allow us to go through certain situations so that our faith will act, whether it's just confessing, or it's staying with it, or whether it's having to do something. Whatever it will be, faith will know what to do. But this is where he creates those situations in order for us to have a faith that works. Not a faith that's just talking a lot of hot air, but a faith that walks, believes, confesses, holds on, believes with those eyes of faith. That is why God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is no different. He is the same God that called faithful Abraham. He is the same God that called Noah to warn the world of what was coming, and he is the same God who speaks and communes with you. Father in heaven, bless you, thank you. Oh Lord Jesus, we just pick up from your heart how much you want us to believe and to trust you. Lord, forgive us when we doubt you, Lord, when we rely upon our feelings, our emotions. They'll always let us down. Oh, eventually, Lord, we get it, don't we? Lord, you're so patient, so long-suffering with us. It seems to take so long. And yet, Father, you are in complete control. Lord, thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you that you have made this meeting tonight possible. Bless, preserve, keep each one of them. And Father, continue to teach them to walk by faith and not by sight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow.